All right, the best NFL Sunday of the year has just finished. Thanks for finding us first in pod. A day like this is why this podcast exists, because we're going to break the entire thing down. Andrew Filippone, Patrick Peterson, listen and subscribe to First in Pod on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. We are starting with the 49ers getting back to 500. They beat the Cowboys 30-24. Dallas now 3-4. And I'm going to start with a statement, Pat, and you tell me if you think this is true or false. I don't think either one of these teams is very good.
True.
Yeah, that's my takeaway from this game. You got San Francisco, who late in the game almost gave the game away because they could not have a defender in the red zone within 10 yards of CeeDee Lamb. Twice it happened. I don't know how that works. Dak Prescott, who is the richest man in the NFL, the highest paid player in the NFL, two more interceptions in this game. They went 22 minutes of game time without a first down. They can't run the ball. They can't get the ball to anybody but CeeDee Lamb offensively. So both of these teams came in without winning records. San Francisco, the last couple of years, they flashed the stat in 2021 and 2022. They were 3-4, and they flipped the switch, and they figured it out. I don't see them getting close to the Super Bowl again. And Dallas just matched their loss total from last year. They lost four games all of last year. So sometimes we'll come on here after, you know, matchup of teams with losing records and say, hey, this might be a kickstart or a jumpstart for a team. I don't see it with either one here, Pat.
Nah, me either. If I had to take a pick between the teams, it definitely seems that it would jumpstart the 49ers getting this win more than it did Dallas losing this game, for sure, because over the years we've seen the 49ers start like this, but at the same time they're right now hit with the injury bug, so they don't have a lot of their five-star players in the lineup, you know, so they've been down this road before, you know, so I have more trust in the 49ers to turn their season around. But the way this game was looking, like you said, both teams fell into the trap coming into this game, almost walking out of this game, just how they, you know, pretty much how the season has been unfolding. Like you said, 49ers not finishing games.
Yep.
Dallas Cowboys cannot get the ball to anyone else except for CeeDee Lamb, cannot run the football. Defense played better than they have, you know, in the past, much more of an aggressive mindset. Guys flying around, making tackles, making big hits, getting guys' faces. So it was good to see that from the Dallas defense. But on the offensive side of the ball, just two costly turnovers. And they just need something else, someone else, to help that offense get out of his own way, because they're just not the same offense that we used to seeing in the past.
No, they were the highest scoring offense in the NFC last year. And they did nothing. Nobody should be surprised by this, in the respect that they didn't really do anything tangible to improve their team. In fact, it got worse.
Right.
You know, the running back thing was a mistake. I'm not saying you have to throw huge money at it, but to just bring back Zeke and trust Rico Dowdle. The offensive line, there were more subtractions than additions. You know, I would wonder right now. I mean, imagine if they did not give Dak that money. And Dak was playing this way in the last year of his contract, how that would factor into their decision-making. They wouldn't give him an extension.
But at the end of the day, yeah, but they still gave, what, Dak that extension in July?
Closer to the start of the season. It was more like late August, early September.
But right. So they had, you know, the chance to improve their team at that given time during free agency in March.
And didn't. And Jerry Jones stressed urgency and how this was an important year, and it was all gibberish.
Yeah, it was all exactly. Because we're all in.
Poppycock.
Apparently not.
So, I mean, to me, this is the bed that they made. You got to sleep in it now. They're kind of getting what they deserve. And San Francisco, I look at it this way. That's right. That's right, Spence. That came down like officially hours before that first game in Cleveland is when the Dak deal was announced. Mm-hmm. And then San Francisco, the injuries have just caught up to them. And, yeah, you know, Brock Purdy has not played well enough to overcome them the last 2 weeks. He ran the ball actually pretty well from a hit escape artist Houdini kind of thing in this game. I thought those were probably his best plays, and he got the ball to Kittle enough to win this game. But down to their third string running back, Debo Samuel, pneumonia, Ayuk done. Pearsall had a couple nice plays. That's a great story. And their defense, to me, has not really lived up to expectations. That has not been as injured as the offense. And yet Dallas almost stormed back and won the game late. So, yeah, I mean, it was a marquee matchup, Pat. And to be honest with you, I think that, you know, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year Dallas was going to go to San Francisco and lose in prime time by only 6 points, I would say, oh, that's not a killer loss for Dallas. That's not getting blown out. That's not an ugly loss. But given the state of both teams, I don't really think either one of them should come out of this game feeling like they're set up or destined to do big things this year.
Nah. Just the way the season has been going for Dallas, the injuries that the 49ers are suffering right now. But like I said, I have more trust in the Niners than I do in the Cowboys.
And at 4-4 now, they're in a three-way tie for first place in the NFC West with Seattle and Arizona. And we'll get to those teams coming up. Everyone's separated by a half game in that division because the Rams are 3-4 and right there. Okay, we've got to do the Bears and Commanders finish. That was insanity.
Man.
We get a Hail Mary here. Jaden Daniels, first of all, played. When we talked Thursday night, he hadn't practiced yet. Mm-hmm. He came out and gutted out and played. And he authored up the coolest moment and the biggest moment of the NFL season so far. The question on the screen here is Jaden Daniels him? But before we get to the Daniels thing, I've got to ask you about Chicago and the way they played the Hail Mary, starting with Tyreek Stevenson. He's talking smack with Commanders fans. While the play is happening, he's not even paying attention. He then has to go from getting into it with fans to running back into the play.
Right.
And it's like divine intervention from the football gods. He ends up being the dude who tips the ball to Noah Brown to lose the game.
Yeah.
And he's offered an apology on Twitter, but dude, those are hollow words. How does that happen?
You know, Pony, I don't know how that happens. First of all, I want to go back to the play before that play, because I believe they was at the maybe like the 37, maybe a little bit closer.
They ran a 4 second play to get themselves closer to Terry McLaurin.
Exactly. So when we had those type of situations, understanding, obviously, you have to know how far the quarterback can throw the football. We know Jaden is he's injured, so he may not be able to throw the ball as far as he would if he was healthy. So the first play leading up to the Hail Mary, I wouldn't even get giving them the opportunity to get those cheap 13 yards, just because it gave them an opportunity to get closer to put themselves in the position for the Hail Mary. They had no timeouts. I would have just played not a normal defense, but at least have my corners up a little bit closer to deny that free access play, because if they don't catch that ball and get out of bounds, the game is over. If they catch the ball anywhere else,
then they got to start to do a lateral play.
Exactly. Yep. So that was the first mistake. But agreed. Then going back to your original question, I don't know how that happened, because, like, for me, as a veteran in secondary, we know that every moment is precious. Every moment is important. So I would have had my guys locked in from the get-go as soon as we left the huddle. Hey, man, we got one more play. Everybody, because I was the type of guy that always liked to go over, you know, everyone's responsibility, at least in the back end, just to make sure everybody's on the same page, everybody know what we need to do.
And this dude's got his back turned to the play, yelling at fans. I know.
He wasn't locked in, man. He was not locked in, and it ended up happening you know, to them that caused them losing that game. And everybody was in the wrong on that play because everyone has a position. You have a jumper, you have guys boxing out. Everybody was going for the football. And when you see, and that typically will happen, when you see, when you have everybody.
Why aren't you trying to intercept the ball instead of bat it down is what I don't, they're trying to pad stats? I don't get it.
No, and actually looking at that, I don't think none of them was trying to intercept the ball either. It just happened. I don't know if the guys lost it or whatnot, but if you go back and look at it, the way that the guys were attacking the ball, it was like the ball had no choice but to go up. Way that it was tapping the ball, no one came in aggressively
and volleyball slapped it down. Game. It's like they were hitting a beach ball back up in the air to keep it going. It was unreal, exactly. Dude. I don't understand why Chicago only rushed three on that play. What's the logic in not putting any pressure there to let him get set back up to throw it 65 yards downfield?
Man, that was always I had a James Betcher because we got hit with that play in 2015 with Aaron Rodgers, Hail Mary. Yep. But unfortunately, fortunately, we still ended up winning the ball game. Yes, we ended up still winning the ball game. But our motto was, and our philosophy was, always blitz off of the quarterback's throwing arm. So if it's Aaron Rodgers or whoever, if it's a right-handed quarterback, we're going to blitz off the right side to force him to his weak side in order to try to throw the football.
That happened in another game today. That's exactly what Houston did to Anthony Richardson.
Exactly.
They got him to the other side, and they did it on purpose.
Yep. And that typically works out a little bit better for you. But I don't like giving guys chances to set up and throw the Hail Mary just because things like that happen. Like we talk about it all the time, and guys will tell you, like, coach, because you go through that play every Saturday, but that's like the last defensive play that you go through, and it's called victory on a Saturday, right? And coach always be like, knock it down. And guys will be like, man, shit, when I get in the game, I'm picking that joint off, man. I got to pat the stats. And sure behold, that moment comes up. The last play that we walked through on Saturday, a lot of people don't take that play serious, but it means a lot, and it ended up biting them in the butt.
Pat, I got to sit Stevenson down for the next game. I got to make him an inactive. I mean, he's a nice player. He's not a great player. You can't tolerate that.
Yeah, that was unexcusable.
Then the Jaden Daniels thing. They did not score a touchdown the entire game until then, but I don't care. This is why this game got put at 4:25 Eastern time today with Nance and Romo there, because they wanted a big audience to see what this dude was all about. And he shimmied and broke a guy's ankle on a run. He hit McLaurin on that long 60-yard pass earlier in the game. He ended up having to settle for a field goal. That was an absolute seed that he put in there.
Under pressure.
Yeah, they should have. They deserve to win today. And the Bears, frankly, and Williams, they had that drive at the end, and Swift got hot, but they should have lost, because the other moronic thing they did was hand the ball off to a backup center
with
friggin' 85 Bears and Refrigerator Perry. What are we doing here, Chicago?
Come on, man. After you fought so hard to get back in that position, you hand it off to an offensive lineman. I don't care how often you practice that play.
Like,
you give it to someone that is used to handling the football.
You got DeAndre Swift having a great game.
Come on. And also, too, Caleb Williams was showing some wheels when he had the opportunity to break the pocket and show his elusiveness while running the football today.
That was so incredibly stupid. So they deserve to lose the game. And this moment will be a part of the career highlight reel for Jaden Daniels for the rest of his life. What a throw and what a win for Washington today to get to 6-2.
All right, we're moving out west. We got the Bills and the Seahawks. So much for this game being as good as we thought it would be. But what question did the Buffalo Bills answer for you?
Well, they proved to me that they could go in less than ideal conditions. It was raining there all day. It was your prototypical day in Seattle where it was pouring down rain and it was cold there the entire game. Yep. And they could go into that environment and not beat themselves And they beat themselves their last road game in Houston with some really brain dead decision making by Sean McDermott late in that game. And they ended up handing it to Houston on a silver platter. So I think half the battle a lot of the times is you got to make sure you don't lose the game. And then once you do that, you can go and win it. And they were the team that didn't have the self-inflicted wounds. They weren't the team like Seattle that snapped the ball over the quarterback's head at the one-yard line. They weren't the team like Seattle that stepped on Geno Smith's foot on another trip near the goal line. So I give Buffalo credit for just doing the routine things. Tomlin says do the routine things routinely. They did that in this game, okay? They did the fundamental things right. Allen got Keon Coleman involved again. He had a touchdown. Shakir had over 100 yards. It was a very business-like win for them. Sometimes that's good enough. No razzle-dazzle. Nothing crazy. Don't hand the ball off to a friggin' center. Just go in there and don't beat yourself with penalties or with stupid, careless plays. And they did that today. And honestly, Pat, that has been something that Josh Allen has had to answer for. He's oftentimes cost his team a game here or there because he's the guy that's trying to do too much. And to his credit today, he didn't do that.
Yeah. I was just about to hit on that point. This was a real big win for the Buffalo Bills. And I love this new and improved Josh Allen, not forcing the ball, really taking what the defense is giving them. And he did throw that interception like you called. You said Josh is going to throw his first interception this week, and he did, but the team overcame it. Really, really solid balanced attack. James Cook having over 100 yards. Josh throwing over 280 yards. Defense playing lights out. Special teams playing complimentary football. So,
Pat, I've never seen two guys on one team, by the way, fight each other like that game today.
Man, that was crazy. Me either.
So all a defensive lineman hits Allen late, and it extends a drive that ends up being a touchdown drive. And then his teammate Reed absolutely tears into him. And then they get back to the sideline, and they start wailing on each other, and coaches got to separate them, dude.
Yeah, that wasn't a good
I can't
look,
see. But you're a competitor, but I can't imagine you losing your temper or having somebody go after you like that on the sideline. I just can't fathom it.
Nah, me either. And I've never been a part of anything like that on the sideline, so that was pretty bizarre to see. But I'm sure, Coach, they'll get that all taken care of in-house, and I'm sure that won't happen again.
I love that you said on the sideline, which means that there were things that happened away from the sideline, but we don't have the time to get into that right now. Eagles and Bengals. So Philly goes to Cincy and scores 37. Are the Eagles back?
I think so. I think the Eagles are back. We talked about this. You asked what would be a bigger storyline, the Bengals getting back to 500 or Philadelphia capturing first place, which they did not. Washington's in first place right now. But I like what I saw from Philly. I like what I saw from Hurts and the offense taking their shots down the field. The defense looked like they're finally starting to catch their stride. This can be a dangerous football team. That look like it's going to be a very, very competitive two-game series against Philly and the Commanders. So I'm excited to see those matches. I'm sure both of those probably going to get pushed to prime time at some point. But Philly came in with a very, very aggressive mindset. They stuck to it. And now Philly looks like the team that everybody thought that they would be at the beginning of the year.
So part of me wants to say that I'll be honest. I don't think they're back off of this result because I think there's some fool's gold here because of the circumstances. Number one, Cincinnati's defense, it was a mirage. They put it together the last 2 weeks, I think more because of who they played than who they are. And they went right back to who they've been for most of the year today. Philly just lined up and manhandled them.
Yeah, beat them up.
Yep, Hurts had a couple of tush-push touchdowns. Barkley had another big game. They got back to their identity, but I think it's because Cincinnati is just so meek against good offenses. Cincinnati's winless at home this year, which is insane that they're 0-4, including that loss to New England in week one. The reason why I'm not going to say they're all the way back is because Cincinnati scored 17 points today. They score more if T. Higgins plays. And that was a late scratch there. Yeah. So they did beat an undermanned Bengals team. Burrow came out afterwards and said, I think we can win 7 of 9 to get into the playoffs. That was his line. And I wanted to text a buddy who works in Cincinnati and say, hey, you're in this press conference. Tell him right now, his boy Patrick Peterson said, hey, it ain't happening.
Nope.
LSU brother to brother says, nope, not going down this year, man. Nice try, though. But the Higgins thing, I thought was sick, and we didn't know that on Thursday when we talked about this game.
Yeah, right.
They are a different team when he plays, and they went back to being the Bengals who struggled at the outset of the year because he wasn't healthy in this one.